As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome back to the latest Head of the Pack. Bill and I are here in Minneapolis inside the U.S. Bank Stadium press box after what was a thrilling game. Bill, we turned to each other a couple times since we were sitting next to each other in the press box and said, man, I love my job. It went from a 16-3 game that looked like it was going to be a snoozer to an extremely entertaining game with a couple late lead changes. Packers ultimately lose 34-31. You know, if you watch the first half and even the first part of the second half, you think they have no business winning that game. The offense kept them in, but, you know, it was kind of the opposite script of what we've watched this season. The defense keeps the offense in, and they do just enough to win. Today, the offense kept the defense in, and the defense did not do enough. Joe Barry's unit got absolutely slaughtered today, allowed more than 30 points for only the second time this season. Last time was that week one loss. Just a really poor effort from the defense all around, and I want to get your thoughts on it, but the stat that jumped out most to me was the Packers secondary was so good last week against Seattle. They held DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett to 5 catches on 16 targets for 49 yards. Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen today, 16 catches on 20 targets, 251 yards and 3 touchdowns. Packers secondary was completely lost today.
Yeah, Eric Stokes has had a hell of a year, Matt, as a rookie, but he was torched today. Kevin King, who's played really well when he's been healthy, he gave up some plays today on that game-winning drive. I'm not sure if Rasul Douglas lost the ball in the lights or he didn't see. I don't know what happened there, but he was running the wrong way when Thielen caught the ball. Shannon Sullivan, who's been playing pretty well, he got beat a bunch. It's quite a league, isn't it, Matt? You were going through the scores earlier today. Right when you think you have everything figured out, you get it. You know, the Packers play crap today, and you go through some of the scores, Matt. I don't know what you make out of one game in this league anymore.
Yeah, I mean, the Texans beat the Titans today.
There you go.
The Colts slaughtered the Bills. The Ravens with Tyler Huntley, their backup quarterback, beat the Bears. The Bears stink, but that's still surprising. It's unpredictable. I mean, I'm watching this Cardinals-Seahawks game right now. The Cardinals just sealed it. So the Cardinals will retake the number one seed. But the Packers have an important stretch coming up here. They have the Rams, who are 7-3, coming into Lambeau Field next Sunday. The Rams are coming off a bye, coming off that blowout loss against the 49ers last Monday night. They have Odell Beckham Jr., you know, all the glitz and the glamour of them. That's going to be a big game for the Packers. Because they can't go into their own bye week with 2 straight losses after what they did the first half of the season. You know, the question was, can the offense figure it out? They led the league in points per game last year with 31.8. Hadn't, you know, eclipsed 30 since that week 2 win over the Lions. They do that today. They come alive in the second half. Devontae Adams finds the end zone twice. Rodgers, what was he, 10 of 11 for 190 what yards in the second half?
Yeah. 10-11 for 197 and 3 touchdowns. The incomplete pass, a throwaway. So it can't play much better than that.
Yeah, and you were in Rodgers' presser. What did he say about that toe injury? And do you think that's any concern going forward, or because of how he played in the second half today, not so much?
Yeah, he called it very, very painful. He said he got stepped on. Gosh, I don't know if it was the first drive, but it was definitely the first quarter. He got the toe stepped on, which said, you know, all the healing that had basically taken place over the last several days had gone out the window, which is why the Fox camera showed him in the tunnel before halftime. He's going in to get it checked out and some treatment, I presume. He said this coming week will be much like this past week, where he didn't practice on Wednesday and Thursday. And I know Tom Pelissero reported on Friday that he took 15 snaps at Friday's practice. So Rodgers said it'd be a similar trajectory to that. And then the hope is he gets through the Rams game and then he feels better after the bye. But is it a concern? Yeah, you need your quarterback practicing. I realize he played a hell of a game for the final 30 minutes, but you need your quarterback practicing.
You do. And, you know, we'll see if that affects Rodgers' play. He said, you know, it would kind of be the same practice schedule this week. He probably won't do much this week. So we'll see on that front. Bill, I just posed this question to a couple of you in the press box. I don't think the Packers are going to move on from Mason Crosby, but man, that's two games now, and I understand today wasn't entirely his fault. I blame this one mostly on the defense, but they lose by 6 to the Chiefs a couple weeks ago. He misses 2 field goals. The laces were bad on both those. But then the next week, Mo Drayton says to us, Mason Crosby deserves better. And then each of the two games since then, it seems that Crosby was the main culprit in a missed field goal. Yes, he made a 54-yarder on the first drive of the game, but then he hits a 32-yarder off the left upright. And you said right before it, watch, he's going to miss this one. And normally when we kid in the press box like that, you guys are wrong and I'm right. But you were right. Just clanked it. You could hear it throughout the entire stadium. That's shorter than an extra point. And the laces and snaps seem fine. Granted, I'm no expert, but that one seemed, at least from first glance, like Crosby's fault. The Packers have now missed an NFL-high 8 field goals this year. They've protected J.J. Molson, the second-year kicker out of UCLA, on the practice squad all year. How much longer can they do this?
They're going to roll with him for the rest of the year, Matt. I mean, I think you got to bank on the track record. You got to bank on, gosh, it's been a long day. My head scrambled from those. I believe it was 2012 when he was 21 out of 33 on field goals.
Ooh.
He was the worst in the league by percentage. There was a stretch where he made, I wrote over the weekend, 6 out of 14, and that was part of a larger stretch of 12 out of 24. He made his last 6 that year. He made the last 4 of the regular season. He made them both in the playoffs. I think he got a bank with the track record. This all has to be mental, right, at this point? It's been such a shit show between snaps, holds, protection. He's just got to be a head case at this point. So if he can put string together a few good weeks, maybe get some feeling good about things. I just wonder what he's thinking when he goes up there, if he's heading the line of scrimmage thinking, boy, how are these guys going to screw up this one? And now he's screwing himself up. But no, I don't think he's going to go anywhere. Contractually, he's probably gone next year. But like you mentioned, J.J. Molson, he made a 60-yarder in training camp, Matt.
You keep bringing that up. I want to see it in a game.
Yeah, but so, I mean, clearly they're protecting the guy for a reason.
Yeah, we talked to Mason on Friday, and yeah, he took the blame for all the misses, but he also sprinkled in a little bit of, you know, there are growing pains with a new operation. They cut a pretty good holder right before the season in J.K. Scott, and Corey Bajorquez is not the greatest holder. You know, they cut Hunter Bradley before week 9, and Steven Wuerdl, I mean, that snap on Bajorquez's first punt today might be the worst long snap I've ever seen in my life. I mean, yes, I think everyone deserves blame. The protection, at least, has seemed better than it was at the start of the season on the field goal units. Now the other three guys have to get it figured out, because now, technically, their missed field goals in 2 of the last 3 games are the point differential by which they've lost. And that can't happen.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. I mean, Hunter Bradley was not a great snapper, and we all know that. How can that have screwed up things? But clearly, I don't know. These guys are professionals, and they haven't been able to figure it out in all these weeks. It's mystifying to me. But it's going to bite him in the ass, isn't it, Matt? Can't you just feel it? And we've got this 1,000 times on Twitter. The playoffs are going to come, and they're going to miss a winning field goal.
possible.
You just feel it coming. These guys have lost so many games in so many brutal ways over the years. I think Packers fans are just kind of trained to expect the worst, and this is an easy way to expect the worst.
Yeah, I'm looking. Crosby has still missed the most field goals in the NFL through this week. So that's not good.
And they're all over like the last, what, six games? Well, Cincinnati was week, what, five or six?
Week five. They missed three week five.
So two, it's over the last seven games?
Two week nine, one in the last 2 weeks. So that's seven. And then they missed one other in there. They had one blocked against
Washington.
Yeah, it was Washington in week seven. So yeah, it's just not good. They got to get it figured out. How about the offense? I know it kind of gets lost in the shuffle because of how poorly the defense played. Actually, no. I can't believe we forgot to talk about this. I knew there was something that I wanted to touch on at the beginning, but I forgot about it, and it just clicked. Elgton Jenkins.
Brutal. Presumably brutal.
Presumably. Matt LaFleur had no update. He said he'll give us one tomorrow. But Ian Rappaport reported pretty quickly after Elgton Jenkins left the field that it's feared to be a torn ACL. He went down on a sack. I don't know if he gave it up, but early in the fourth quarter and kind of clutched at the back of his left knee. It did not look good. He had a really bad limp getting off the field, was carted to the locker room shortly thereafter. And it's just a brutal loss for the Packers because who knows when, if David Bakhtiari is going to come back this season. He started practicing the Wednesday before that Washington game in week seven, participated in every practice until the Friday before the Seattle game in week 10. And, I mean, hasn't practiced since then. Missed four games. And Matt LaFleur keeps saying day by day, but Aaron Rodgers used the word unknown tonight when discussing Bakhtiari's impending return, if it is that. Nobody knows if he's going to come back. Jenkins is out. You know, the Packers can ride Yosh Nijman for three games like they did earlier this year, you know, using a lot of tight end chips and whatnot, but can they do it for six games plus the playoffs? I don't know. They're not going to rush Bakhtiari back, but they need him back in the worst way right now, especially because it doesn't look good for Jenkins.
Yeah, first of all, I thought Nijman played pretty well tonight, just watching it live. And he played pretty well the three games, so that gives you some hope. But how many times have we talked about in this podcast, Matt, if they can just get Bakhtiari back, and then they can put Jenkins at center or whatever they're going to do, and now your offensive line is fixed, and now the offense can take off. And now you've got the possibility they're not going to have either of those guys for the rest of the year. In what looked like a Super Bowl kind of season, we've talked Super Bowl both on the podcast and in the press box. Seriously, Matt, how in the hell did they win a Super Bowl with that offensive line?
Bill,
and it's no offense to those guys, but Bakhtiari and Jenkins are elite players.
We saw last year that you know, they were the one seed. They were rolling going into the playoffs, and then they stumble against the Buccaneers, and not most notably, but something that stands out about that game is, I believe, after both of Jaire Alexander's second-half interceptions, the Packers had three and outs, if I'm not mistaken, and Rodgers was pressured heavily on those plays. And I believe the two games Rodgers was sacked the most last season, the Panthers might have been in there too, were against the Buccaneers. And, you know, the Rams have a great pass rush. The Cardinals have a good pass rush. The teams you're going to have to beat in the playoffs to get to that Super Bowl have pass rushes that will cause problems for any offensive line, let alone one without two of the better offensive linemen in football.
Yeah, that's a great point, Matt. Bringing up the quality of the pass rushers coming up. That's a hell of a point. I swear that they never, ever, ever would have lost to Tampa Bay in the championship game with Bakhtiari. They gave up five sacks in that game.
I agree.
Because Billy Turner is at right tackle where he belongs, and they go to the Super Bowl with Bakhtiari. And now you're going to this thing with maybe Yosh Nijman as left tackle, and you're going to go forward again with Royce Newman at guard, and who's had some struggles. It's going to be tough. I mean, LaFleur's a hell of a game planner and scheme guy, and Rodgers can work around a lot of stuff, but like you said, when push comes to shove and you need to win playoff games, how are you going to beat these really good teams with really good pass rushers?
Yeah, and I mean, listen, we know everyone's injured. Like, the Cardinals just beat the Seahawks with Colt McCoy. The Chiefs just beat the Cowboys by 10. So you never know what can happen in this league. But if the Packers, you know, Josh Myers, Za'Darius Smith, Jaire Alexander, Aaron Jones should be coming back probably after the bye. You know, Elgton Jenkins, David Bakhtiari, Alan Lazard missed today. Rashawn Gary missed today. The injury bug is just killing the Packers right now. And, you know, to contend in these games is impressive, but at some point they got to show that they can win these close games. They did against the Cardinals with all their wide receivers out, but they might have to win a playoff game with all these guys banged up.
8 starters out by the end of the game. And that's not even including Gary, who's not really wouldn't be a starter if Za'Darius was playing. So it's all great to talk about next man up, but your next man up generally is not as good as the first man up, and then that's a lot of guys. So again, maybe Bakhtiari will be back here in a couple of weeks after the bye week. Maybe he just needed some rest. They've been really tight-lipped about it, though, Matt, which probably should give you pause about his future this year. They just have refused to say anything whatsoever about him.
Yeah. You know, you never like to read too much into stuff, but it certainly doesn't seem promising how deflective LaFleur has been. And, you know, the line that it's not a linear recovery from ACL, it's not a linear process, I understand that, but he practices every day for 3 weeks and then doesn't practice for 4 days in a row, and you're not willing to say that it's a setback. Something's going on there, and it doesn't look promising for, you know, maybe he did have a little bit of a setback, and they think he can be ready after the bye, but it doesn't look great right now.
So, again, maybe you get Jaire Alexander back and you win with the defense, which maybe your best hope at this point.
It's possible.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
All right, let's get to some questions. First one here from Brian, what the hell is going on around there? That's a fair question. let's see.
That was Matt during transcription time. What the hell is going on around here? There's a lot of weird stuff in the press box today.
From Cecilia, loyal listener, how can Green Bay improve the ball awareness and playmaking ability of their DBs in good position, just don't see the ball or catch when it's right to them? That's a great question. You know, Eric Stokes had one of those on a deep ball down the right sideline today. That's kind of Darnell Savage's MO. He had the one deep down the middle, really bad throw by Kirk Cousins, and Adam Thielen breaks it up. Then there's the obvious one. The one time Cousins makes a bad throw to Justin Jefferson, and it looks like Savage picks it off and the Packers are going to have a chance to go down and kick a field goal to win, and he just can't hold on to it. You know, the saying is, DBs are wide receivers who can't catch. And Darnell Savage cannot catch. And it's a big problem for the Packers right now because he's always in pretty decent position. Like the one to Jefferson down the field, it was not the one that he almost intercepted. That one was to Thielen, but the one before that, I believe, where Savage gets there early and just body slams the guy. Like there's no awareness whatsoever when he gets to the play. He was there in perfect timing, but he just railroaded him right before it. And, you know, he can be a really good safety, but that's a great point. He has to improve his awareness when the play is right near him.
Yeah, it's not that they don't practice it. I mean, we're out there every day, and obviously it's not very long that we're out there. But when we are out there, It's nothing but ball drills. That's all they do is ball drills. The coaches are throwing them the balls on weird angles, running downfield, coming toward the ball. God knows they're trying. God knows they're drilling it. But I think, like Matt said, defensive guys play defense for a reason.
Yeah, because they can't catch.
Because they can't catch.
Next up, from Joe O'Keefe. Sure, special teams missed a field goal and the defensive secondary struggled in pass coverage and in securing turnovers, but what happened with the O-line and its multiple penalties today that were a factor in the game? Was the Viking defense better than anticipated? I think John Runyon Jr. was the only one not to have a penalty. Off the top of my head, Billy Turner had two, Jenkins had one, Lucas Patrick had a false start, Royce Newman had a false start or a hold, and Matt LaFleur brought it up after the game. You know, they found themselves in 1st and 20, 2nd and 20. Like, it's really hard to get back on track when you're costing yourselves 10 yards at the beginning of every drive. Yeah, the offense didn't play well, but the offensive line is putting them in bad, bad positions. They pass protected well today, but, you know, the penalties just absolutely killed them in terms of getting drives going.
Yeah, I will say it is really loud here. It is really, really loud, and I'm not sure everyone talks about Arrowhead and all that, but it makes it a challenge on all these guys, and you know they gave up on running the ball fairly early, so it becomes a challenge to pass block guys when you know they're gonna, when everybody in the building knows what you're gonna do offensively. I mean, the whole the second half it was just throw the ball over the field mode, so that doesn't help. Boy, I don't think Billy Turner's been penalized that many times this year, so it was a rare game from that perspective for him.
And here's an interesting stat that I just thought of, or this doesn't really have anything to do with it, but that 12-man on the field penalty at the very beginning of the Vikings game-winning drive was the Packers' first 12-man on the field penalty this season. What a time to have it. Right after a kickoff, too, Matt LaFleur called it inexcusable and embarrassing. I haven't seen him get that angry. You know, I asked him about it. I don't think he was angry at me, but I think he was angry at the play. You know, how in the world do you have 12 men on the field coming out of a stoppage in play? Yeah, maybe it didn't cost him as much as some other plays that drive, but that's 5 free yards. Compounding with the dropped interception the play before, man, that's bad.
Yeah, and the PI that you mentioned earlier in the show, too, to just giving away yards that you can't. I realized they were number 3 in the league defensively entering this game, but they're not that good, Matt. You can't hand people stuff.
Yeah.
Whether it's the defense of that or, again, you know, they're so shorthanded offensively too. You can't be on 1st and 20. You can't kill yourself.
I did hear or read some stuff on Twitter about, oh, this is the defense they've always been. They've just gotten lucky. I disagree with that. You know, they haven't had one or two or three games of excellence and a bunch of turnovers. Like, the last three games, as we talked about, they held Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson to 34 combined points. That's good. They hadn't allowed more than 22 since week 3. I still think this defense is for real. Not having Rashawn Gary hurt, although the Packers did pressure Kirk Cousins on 40.5% of his dropbacks. That was a next-gen stats nugget right there. And they have to hope that this was just an uncharacteristically bad game for the secondary against arguably the best 1-2 receiver punch in the league. It's not like this came against Joe Schmo and you know, Ron Burgundy. It's like, this is a really good 1-2 punch, and Justin Jefferson's one of the best young receivers, best receivers overall in the league. I still think the Packers have a great defense.
Yeah, I guess my point was, talent-wise, just because they're so limited, it's not a great defense from that perspective, and they have to do so many things. I don't want to say perfectly, but they have to do so many things well, and they have to be on the same page consistently. Or, I mean, gosh, those two, I think probably the first two deep balls of Jefferson, and blown coverages.
Oh, nobody, I mean, even
Henry,
close.
Henry Black on the deep crossing route looked like he dropped it, and then the other deep ball, Stokes dropped coverage on that one, and that was just to start the game. So you can't, great players are going to make great plays, but you can't give them the cheap stuff. And that was a rarity today, to see the defensive breakdowns in that regard.
From the Muck Man, since it's nearly midnight in Sweden, this was sent a couple hours ago. I appreciate you listening, and I'm gutted after the loss. I need to post my head of the pack question here. Is this Crosby's last season? Yeah, I think so. Like we said, we don't think they'll move on from him in the middle of the season, but after the season, they can open up a couple million against the cap by cutting him, and that might have been the decision. Even if he kicked well this season, he's kicked very poorly this season, which will make it even easier of a decision to move on from him and free up that cap space.
Yep, $2.4 million in cap savings by moving on after the season, and they are in such cap hell right now. I'm guessing that was the plan all along by Goody, which of course is why they have a kicker on the practice squad.
Yep.
Protecting the kicker on the practice squad.
Protecting the kicker on the practice squad. Let's do a couple more. From Matt Pickett, what do you make of the fact that this is the second most points the Packers have scored and given up, especially after last week's shutout? They just can't put together a complete game. You know, they played so well on defense, and the one game they play poorly on defense is when they play great on offense. You know, we haven't seen that complementary football in a while. And I'm not sure when we will. Maybe it'll be next week against the Rams, but for the last, you know, 2 months, the Packers have ridden their defense and their offense has been just good enough. Today, the offense was great in the second half especially, and the defense was piss poor. So you're not going to win that many games in this league, especially not the Super Bowl, if you can't play complementary football. And the Packers haven't yet this year.
Right. I do think if you're looking for the silver lining, though, it is the offense played well the last, 32, 33 minutes of the game. Because it's been, they've been mediocre. I think the end of the week, 19th or 20th in total offense in points. Rodgers' pass rating was down 20 points over last year. They're down a touchdown, more than a touchdown per game in scoring. They have not been good this year. That they got rolling for the, you know, the end of the first half, then throughout the second half. I think if you want to look at a bright spot, it's that Rodgers finally got going and those receivers finally got going. I think that's the bright side.
Yeah. Here's one from Steve Roush. If Bakhtiari can't come back and with Jenkins looking like his season at the least is over, do they realistically have the horses on the offensive line to get them far into the playoffs? Or will there just be too many holes that can't be filled? We kind of touched on this. You know, we thought if Bakhtiari comes back, Royce Newman goes to the bench, Jenkins goes to center, and Lucas Patrick maybe goes to right guard. Now if Bakhtiari comes back, Royce Newman has to stay in the starting lineup. That's best case scenario. Worst case scenario is Yosh Nijman, John Runyon Jr., Lucas Patrick, Royce Newman, Billy Turner. Is that a Super Bowl worthy offensive line to you, Bill? It doesn't sound like one to me.
No, it's not. Again, a great coach and a great quarterback can beat some of that stuff, but at some point, you just got to go play football. You know, they will chip and they will do things to help Yosh Nijman out at left tackle, but at some point, you got to take the training wheels off. You just can't go run three guys out in routes or four guys out in routes in all game. I hope it's enough. You got to send out five, and you got to trust that your offensive line can block. I don't think they'll be able to, honestly.
It's a fair point. I don't blame you. All right. That's all we've got. You know where to find Bill's stuff. And listen, we're going to have a solid episode for you guys after next week's games against the Rams. We hope you guys all have a happy Thanksgiving. Whenever you're listening to this, enjoy the time with family. Make sure to check theathletic.com on Tuesday morning for a story I've been working on for a couple months. And thankfully, the player who it's about did not get injured today. That's the hint I'll give you. Sat down with him for about 30 minutes the other day, and hopefully you give it a read.
Matt had some great anecdotes. He's kind of given me a little bit of the anecdotes from this interview. Yeah, you'll want to read it. And it's Black Friday. Got the Black Friday deal coming up.
Black Friday deal, coming up. That's true. There you go.
There you go.
So appreciate you guys, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.